Happy belated birthday. Daryl's birthday was yesterday. Hopefully, at least if the Browns lost, he had some birthday sex, but that's none of my business. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys. How about the Cavaliers?
Yeah, well.
We'll get to that. I promise. We'll end on a high note, but we'll start out on a low note.
We'll end on a high note.
So,
okay.
Taysom Hill, all week, you were there, Daryl. You were in Berea, coming off the bye. For 2 weeks, it seemed like the Browns coaches were focused on Taysom Hill. What happened yesterday?
They were. It sure didn't look like they were focused on Taysom Hill.
I heard somebody call the show over the weekend yesterday after the game and wonder how we couldn't catch up to the 34-year-old white guy. What is going on there?
I actually agree. I want to agree with the caller.
Is that one of the best games of Taysom Hill's career all around? Is that the best game?
I mean, that might get him to Canton, Ohio, if he keeps playing the Browns. I mean,
there's a lot of 34-year-old white guys in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, I just that was a another stupefying loss by the Browns. So congratulations to them. Another outstanding effort from Kevin Stefanski's bunch, which I'm sure will keep his job safe and sound. You know, Andrew Berry's overpaid football team, which I'm sure will help him keep his job. Nothing like setting $300 million of Jimmy Haslam's money on fire to, you know, enhance your job security. And then throw another, you know, almost quarter of a billion on top of that.
Do you think anybody's really secure, though, Daryl?
No. No, I think everyone's getting fired at this point.
Whoa! Yeah, Daryl!
You can't bring this back. No, I mean, no, you can't.
Well, they're quiet quitting. And you want to hear my answer to it? I know you weren't listening earlier, so I'm going to say it. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mike Vrabel's already wearing a headset. If things get out of hand on Thursday, I say, you know, and I think they probably will get out of hand on Thursday. Why wait? I know there's things you have to go through, steps you have to go through, but
yeah,
it's like
you got to do the Rooney Rule thing.
But I'm sitting here thinking, Tone, or I was saying it to Tone, and Daryl, I'll say it to you. You go back to Mike Pettine, and Kyle Shanahan got out of here, and now he's one of the better coaches in the NFL.
Yep.
And I need a guy, if we're going to build this thing, I'm like, I need a guy I can trust. I need a guy that young people can look towards for leadership. I'm going to need Mike Vrabel. You already have him there. He already knows what pieces to keep, probably what pieces he would let go. You might as well give him autonomy and move forward.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the main issue there is the autonomy part, because that's just not how the Haslams run the Cleveland Browns. They run a collaborative management style, if you will. They like running things through the committee of leadership or whatever it is that, you know, you want to call it. And it, you know, it hasn't exactly produced a lot of great results. But I agree with you. I mean, this team does not look like it's playing hard for Kevin Stefanski. It does not look like half these guys want to be there at times, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The Juan Thornhill jogging down the field on the touchdown was a joke. He was a guy that Andrew Berry brought in here to, you know, be a key cog in the machine here. And, you know, good guy, but I think it's, you know, when you look at this roster and how awful it has underperformed and how well these guys are paid, the fact that not only that they're 2-8, but you're in a 14-14 game against a not very good Saints team. I know the Saints look like world beaters yesterday. I get that. But the Saints really are not that great of a football team. They're 3-7. Now they're 4-7.
They fired their coach 2 weeks ago.
Right. They fired their head coach, and they've won two straight. And there's no answers. Like, we're at that point. It is what it is. I told you weeks ago this is what was going to happen to this football team. I know people didn't want to hear it, and I was accused of just being a hater and negative for being negative or whatever, but like this whole season was foreseeable during training camp. The warning signs were there, and you know, unfortunately, I was right. But I think it's beyond repair. I don't think it's fixable. No matter how many times Kevin Stefanski today is going to say, well, we just, you know, have to fix a couple of things and blah, 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 right? I mean, he's been saying that for 10 weeks now. Nothing's getting fixed. There is no improvement. It is clear that they're more than just a quarterback away now. I mean, Jameis Winston, you guys had the clip from your listener there. Very good point. Throws for nearly 400 yards, no interceptions, 2 touchdowns, and they still lost by 21. Right, so that's more than just they have a quarterback problem. And yes, don't get me wrong, they have a quarterback problem still, but this thing runs deeper than just a quarterback problem.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Was I one of the people who called you a hater?
I think there were a few occasions.
All right, I'm sorry.
That you were less than pleased with what I was saying.
All right, I'm sorry. I'll apologize to you if I called you a hater. I don't know if I did or not. So if I did...
You didn't actually call me a hater, but there were some mornings you were really annoyed with me.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kevin, and it's... I just know where the season's going. And
yeah, we know how this movie ends,
yeah,
right?
I mean, they're walking around. So if they're going to sit there, if they're going to walk around, then I'm just thinking... I almost said tone. Daryl, it's... We know where this goes, and he sounds like this in the post game. I don't think I think he knows there are no answers. I think this team is looking 2-15 dead in the face.
Oh yeah,
I think Thursday is going to be an embarrassment. Because I think that it's the weather. What's it supposed to be? 41 degrees on Thursday.
The forecast is not great
with rain and wind.
It's gonna be gross.
I'm willing to bet there's gonna be a lot of people selling their tickets. There's gonna be a lot of Steelers fans willing to bundle up and come on up.
Terrible towel takeover on the lakefront.
It's going to be angry. I'm going to be angered. I'm not making this decision out of anger, though. I'm just thinking, boy, where are we going from here? We're in teardown mode. We're in rebuild mode. Reload mode. Whatever you want to try to call it. And I just don't think they survive it. I like some of these people, but I don't think they survive it. I mean, and by the way, the changes that you made with your coaching staff, do they not look like they've backfired?
Oh, big time.
Offensive line isn't very good. But the special teams suck out loud. I don't know what type of offense they try to run. I don't think they know what type of offense they try to run.
I don't think some of the players know the offense they're running, if I'm being perfectly honest about it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, too. So, I'm looking at the schedule right now, Ken. I don't know how they've not been flexed out of that Monday night game, December 4th at Denver. I don't know how they've not already been flexed out of the Prime Video game on December 19th or the Sunday Night Football game December 29th. Like, if I were the league, I would have already announced that I've made those changes. I don't know why you would want to put the Cleveland Browns on a national TV audience and do that to folks. They can't do anything about the Steeler game. That's the final week before the flexing really begins. But, I think that Thursday night's going to be ugly. Denver is a little better than I thought that they were going to be. You got to deal with Pittsburgh again. Then the Chiefs are going to pound you. The Bengals, maybe that's winnable. Maybe the Dolphins is winnable. And then the Ravens are... Yeah, maybe the Ravens will be winnable because they don't care at that point. They will have everything sewn up. But, yeah, I mean, you're staring down the barrel of 2-15 here. There's no question about it. There's not one game remaining on the schedule where I'm like, yeah, Brown's going to win that game. Nope. I thought yesterday was winnable, even though I did pick the Saints to win, but I thought it was a very winnable game for the Browns. And again, if you would have told me going into the thing, hey, Jameis Winston's going to throw for almost 400 yards, a couple touchdowns, not going to turn it over, I would really, Brown's going to win by 14. They can't score. I looked this stat up yesterday because I was so befuddled. The fact that 9 of 10 games, they have failed to score 20 points. The 99 expansion Browns scored at least 20 points 4 times in a game. The 2016 1-15 Browns did it 7 times. The 2017 winless 0-16, the most incompetent team of all time, did it four times. These guys have done it once. This is pathetic. Fire people. Yesterday, start firing people. Ken Dorsey, get him the hell out of here. The expansion Browns could score 20 points. The $300 million Cleveland Browns can't score 20. Fire people! No!
I'm kidding.
Daryl, my sort God. If anybody's walking their dog outside your house... Lord Almighty, Daryl.
Am I wrong?
Well, Daryl, the one thing that some people were worried about when I said, hey, mission accomplished, meaning, hey, you lost a game and you're going to get a high traffic and all that stuff. People said, what about the culture? There is one thing I am worried about with this team. And we saw a bunch of people quit yesterday on that defense. And
maybe they need to go back to the Greenbrier again. I don't know.
I think that's probably over.
They can't blame it all on the Greenbrier, can we?
That worked so well for a second straight year.
I think the dance has been retired.
They should do the Greenbrier waltz after a regular breakup on a second down, and then they need to do it after they give up a touchdown. Who did that yesterday? Was that Grant?
There you go. That's what the defense needs to be dancing.
Was that Grant Delpit who did that? Which one was it who broke up the pass?
I think it was,
and then 40 yards later, they gave up a touchdown.
Well, so the one thing I am worried about, if we're talking about culture, I always think that's so overrated and can change, you know, really quickly with a new head coach or a new quarterback.
Yeah.
But Myles Garrett, I know he was a little banged up yesterday. You really did not. The only time you heard his name is when they were singling him out for not saying his name yesterday. And you could tell there was some loafing going on. And if you lose that guy and you lose the investment from that guy.
Yep.
Yeah, the rest of the year we know is doomed. But what does that mean for his future in Cleveland?
Well,
I mean, does he want to be here for what this looks like it could be next year?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for Miles on that. I mean, obviously, he's really invested locally with a lot of the things he does off the field. And, of course, he's has a minority ownership share of the Cavaliers. I don't know that it's a want-to-be-here-in-Cleveland thing. It might be, does he want to keep playing for Kevin Stefanski thing? Or Joe Woods. Jim Schwartz. Joe Woods made him look pretty ridiculous yesterday. Oh, by the way, I probably should include that in my run. You lost to Joe Woods yesterday. score 14 points against Joe Woods' defense. And that's a guy you fired. It's not good right now. And it's only going to get worse.
You like the Cavs?
I love the Cavs. How can you not love this group?
Well, I'll just ask you a question to get you off the Browns.
They got a dancing frog?
They do.
I mean, how can you not love those guys?
Do.
They're fantastic.
Okay. Daryl, we thank you very much for the time.
Bye, Ken. Bye.
Goodbye. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
All-time appearance from Daryl Ryder just now.
That was an all-timer.
I am getting tweets, social media. We got to get... Coming out of the break, we got to play that. That was sensational. I've never heard him like that.
Now, he said he was joking after the last thing he yelled.
I don't think he was joking.
Fire people! No!
I don't think he was joking at all.
He was angry?
Daryl was on a roll.
It's only $191 million on the offense.
Is that right?
Yeah. $191 million. They can only score 14 points against New Orleans. That is the 27th ranked rush defense and the 29th ranked pass defense. Let me go back and look. Hold on. You guys go ahead.
Wouldn't you make the argument that defense was worse yesterday? Way worse? Way more of a problem than the offense was?
Take your pick. Was it special teams?
You know, I didn't feel as bad about Taysom Hill until you brought up that he's 34 years old. I did not realize he's 34 years old.
Yeah, the 29th against the pass, 27th against the rush, 28th overall.
And that's all they talked about all week was Taysom Hill. And I'm like, Taysom Hill is not that good. Well, yesterday.
Joke's on you, buddy.
He looked like one of the best players in the NFL. If that was the only game you had ever watched in NFL history, you'd say, well, that guy's clearly a Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean, there's people who believe that they were giving a half-assed effort. And if you're going to give a half-assed effort, then you're going to make a lot of guys look good. If they're going to give full-assed efforts and you're only giving a half of one, well, you're going to make them look good. And you made them look good. They're playing for Rizzi. They are in evaluation mode. So what you do is that, like, New Orleans will eventually come back down to earth, more than likely. But you make guys play for jobs. Right now, it's just we're going through the motions here. And I can preach stability. I've preached stability for a long time. I don't want them to have to make changes. But when you have guys jogging around and basically just getting a workout in, when you're in a 14-14 game, then I have to start thinking about what I'm going to do to make this team better in the future. Okay, one of the guys taking a jog was in your secondary. Who brought him in? Well, it was Andrew Berry. All right, well, that's another one. Hell, I didn't even get to ask about Jed Wills. I said we were going to ask Daryl about Jed Wills, and Jed Wills talked about firing everybody. Daryl talked about firing everybody. Is there anything to even ask about Jed Wills? Really, is there? Like, did they sit him because he was actually hurt, or are they sitting him because he used the term business decisions? Which, again, Kevin said it was a misuse of the term. Why didn't anybody ask Kevin? And this is on us. Ask Kevin then, well, what did he mean by it? What did Jed mean by business decisions? If he didn't know what the term meant and he used the wrong term, then what did he mean by what he was trying to get over? What he was trying to say? Yeah, that sticks out to me. That's your number 10 overall pick. 5 years later, showing us, hey, maybe he doesn't like football that much. I don't know. That's good. That's good. So, I mean, I've defended it as much as I could. I can't there's nothing I can defend. I can't defend this anymore.
No. There's no reason even trying to. And now just the question is, with 7 games left, we know there's going to be carnage. How complete will the carnage be?
It will be thorough complete.
There are people that still tell me Andrew Berry's safe. Like, they'll get rid of Stefanski.
Okay.
Andrew Berry will stay.
Okay. What happens to the guy out in San Diego? Oh, you said he's like, you're going to put him in charge of marketing or something like that.
I don't.
What did you say? He's in a money-making position. That scares me, by the way. What do you know that I don't know? Why do you say, because there's things that you say where you leave Easter eggs there. And his role has been all throughout his career has been about scouting, finding talent, finding players. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to put him in a different role? What, because he's smart?
I think he has earned the trust of Jimmy Haslam forever for some of the stuff behind the scenes that has worked out financially for Jimmy Haslam. I'll just say that.
Okay.
So he is, if he ever leaves, it's going to be on his own, him looking for a new gig, him wanting to do a new challenge. But
if you are listening and you're skilled in the art of interrogation, I would like to have 15 minutes alone with Anthony Lima. I'd love to know more about what you're alluding to here, Anthony.
I should bring Jake in. My buddy Jake did it in the Army.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He'll get the truth out of you.
Get some real Guantanamo stuff going
on. Easy. He'll get it out of you. I don't like what you just said. That weirded me out.
It has nothing to do with football. That's, I guess, what I'm saying. So this is why when I brought up the fact that his role, his evolution within
I thought his role was supposed to be
ecosystem.
With football.
Well, he did, but think about
strategy.
He did all
priest,
that.
It's a professional football
but all that
team.
Stuff
We're
is,
talking about their ecosystem.
But all that stuff is done. I mean, the guards.
Yeah, it's done
he's
all right.
Done
the guardrails.
All the football that he can football?
Yeah. I mean, he was brought in. Remember, he was the one that essentially hired Andrew Berry.
Yeah.
So that was not.
Andrew's done some decent
that
things.
Was not anybody. That was him.
Not all bad.
And once that was done, it's not like he's looking for a new GM every day. And his work was to streamline their organization. And last year, you know, we weren't really talking about Paul D, but because the team was able to go on such a run and do it under crazy circumstances where you had all these ridiculous injuries, what's the one thing we did say about the Browns? Like, competent, professional, they're so much better than where they were before all this. And then things got away from him again this year, and mm-hmm. we will forever be debating why that is. But there's nothing really left for Paul DePodesta to do with the team. Like, they're scouting. All their systems are in place. The only question is, what would be the structure after this whole thing gets blown up?
Can I have a minute to think about that?
Yeah.
Because we got to talk. I said we were going to talk about this, and we got to. The Cavs are 15-0. Somebody sent us a picture, and they were like, oh, boy, they really love it here. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. There's 10:20 left to go in the third quarter. People are still in the concourse. And you notice that as well. You're like, I didn't think. But you're critical of the 6 p.m. tip-off times on a Sunday?
Yeah, well, I said this.
I think they're perfect.
This is during, obviously, this game's during football, and they're not going to want to put a lot of NBA games up against the heart of the football schedule. But I have asked people over there before, why the Sunday late games? Why can't we get matinees? Why can't we get, like, an MSG? That's one of the cool things in New York is when they have those Sunday matinees. And, you know, I'm a big, at this stage of my life, Kenny, I'm a big day drinker. By the time Sunday night comes around, I am done. Like, and I enjoyed watching it at home yesterday. That's not my point. But for going to the games, I don't think Sundays, if anybody was complaining about the crowd yesterday, and I don't even know if they were.
I think the crowd was great.
I think in the past, Sundays later in the day, I've never really understood that. I think it would be much better to kind of get a jump start on the things earlier in the day.
Boy, I disagree. I think it's great for families. They're showing highlights right now. The crowd looks very thick and full, very lustrous, like a big thick head of hair. I disagree. I think the 6 p.m. start times are great for families. I think it's a family day at the arena. Like, if it were a Tuesday night, like Tuesday night or a Friday night might be a date night, might be a going out, getting some dinner,
oh,
going
it's great
to the Cavs,
on Friday nights, yeah.
You know, whatever. But a Sunday afternoon at 6, and this it does help cleanse the palate after the Browns game. I mean, I sat there, Tome, I wish they could have taken a picture. I sat there at my desk in my office yesterday, my hands folded, and just sat there and watched and just took it all in and did not say a word, didn't have to say a word. I mean, they were kicking so much ass. But it just was so calming and nice. Even if they wouldn't have won like they won, it was such a calming, nice experience. And I think it's great for families. I love the 6 p.m. start time on a Sunday. You said that their math tells you that it's good?
They say, even though I've pointed out some kind of empty-ish crowds on Sunday night, and I'm like, man, the weekend's just over. It's tough to then go to the arena on a Sunday night and spend another, you know, $100, $200, $300, depending on what your situation is. They say the math tells them that that's still a more optimal time.
Well, because I think about it like this. I think it's a great family day. If I have kids, I take them at 6. Now, I might be in a hurry to get home to put them to bed afterwards because you're going to be there. You know, like, there's not a lot of time. I'm not trying to be like Howard Schnellenberger with Louisville when he was like, 4 o'clock is the best time. You can go get dinner afterward. It's always that. Maybe as the season went on, don't they, like, they have MLK Day, they have a 3 o'clock start, which is always great. And they put on a good show. Do they have any like earlier after football season starts on the Sundays that we could compare and contrast?
Yeah, I for me personally, I think those are better and more fun. But, you know, last night looked pretty fun. I'm not going to lie. Last night looked pretty fun to be there. Of course, all these games. They could be playing these games at 3 in the morning right now. The way the Cavs are shooting the ball, people are having fun.
That game they had Friday, those final like 2 minutes when Donovan just could not miss.
Oh, my God.
And I said it felt like a playoff atmosphere. And I know that you were a little bit more critical of that when I said that. I said it felt like a playoff atmosphere just because, like, how loud it got in that arena, the towels, how excited everybody was. That's what I meant by
Kenny,
that. I know it's still November.
So yesterday, again, they shot ho-hum 43%. They hit 13 threes, but they've had games they've been hitting 20-plus threes. Okay, think about that arena, as packed as it is right now, as all in as this region seems to be on the Cavs.
Yeah.
How crazy the experience of going to a Cavs game is. You are celebrating and on your feet how many times during a game, and it never stops.
Next Sunday home game, December 1st. Now the Browns don't play that day. December 1st against Boston is at 6 p.m.
Well, I'm sure they'll have no problem filling that up.
Around the league. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
All right, we get it started this week. What a bunch of crazy games. There were some awesome, awesome moments like last night. But we will start out with
Lima's wild thing.
Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. What a waste of time. And I know takes one
yes,
to know one.
Is.
And certainly we've wasted our time.
See, that's when I start to tell, I've told people this for years. Like when you and I were doing CBS Sports Radio, now the Infinity Sports Network, and I go into ripping teams, and there would be, there's every time, there's always a person, and they'd call or tweet or send a nasty email, goes, you're in Cleveland. You don't know any. I go, yeah, I do. I know when teams are going off the rails.
We understand.
I know better than anybody. And if I'm saying your team's going off the rails, you better watch out.
I think about the last 2 years. If you were a Jets fan, they tried to take a shortcut, just like we did. And their shortcut was, hey, we think we got a good defense. Let's go get one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live. And somebody who was not that far removed from MVP status obviously goes down with the injury last year. And now the question is, with Aaron Rodgers just throwing for 184 yards yesterday, sacked three times, he cannot move. They really don't have much of a chance. They lose to the Colts of all teams and Anthony Richardson. Here is Aaron Rodgers, and what's the motivation going to be like the rest of the year?
I'm in my 20th year, so I've figured out a way to do this for a long time. So just got to remember why you fell in love with this game. This will be definitely a week to clear all of our heads and come back and stick together.
Saw this number yesterday.
Awesome.
Winning percentage as Jets starting quarterback. Zach Wilson, 364.
Oh, goodness.
Sam Darnold, 342. And behind both of them, oh, Aaron Rodgers, as a starting quarterback, 273. That is abysmal. The Jets are done, and where do they go from here? Mitch?
Mitch's wild thing.
All right, guys, I'm pulling an audible for a little bit because we got some breaking news this morning. According to Ian Rappaport, the New York Giants, for the first time in 6 years, have benched struggling quarterback Daniel Jones and are expected to name Tommy DeVito as their new starting quarterback.
They didn't go with Drew Lock, huh?
No, they passed him up and went right to Tommy DeVito.
Hard to believe you said 6 years.
Yeah.
Has he really been given that much of a leash?
Yes, he has.
In this day and age, guys do
and
not
they paid
get...
him.
Yeah, and he got paid. So, it's pretty... There aren't a lot of comparisons for this.
Do you want to bring him in as a running back?
I always thought there's got to be some way to use him.
I always said he was Saquon Barkley's backup running back, who then they paid Saquon's backup $40 million.
Right.
A year.
His record as a starting quarterback, 24-44-1.
Well, it's not just wins. It's that he's not good. That's also what he is. He's inconsistent, not good. And I know that he was coached by David Cutcliffe, and David Cutcliffe's a hell of a quarterback coach. If he wasn't coached by David Cutcliffe, who knows how bad he would be. No, by the way, for anybody who wants, I don't have anything against the guy. No, don't even start. Adding bad to bad is not going to make the situation any better. Like when we bring up names about who to bring in, exactly. Like if there might be some name out there that I don't know about that you can bring in, but I would say a 90-something percent, if you add bad to bad, it ain't going to work. So the whole Daniel Jones, if you want to waste everybody's time and call in about him, you go right on ahead. But it's a no from me. Not a chance.
Owen?
Owen's wild thing.
Yeah, it's fine, guys. They lost. They're going to lose a game every once in a while, okay? They can't win all the games all the time. They're back-to-back defending Super Bowl champions. Don't look at me like that. They'll be fine, Ken.
I think they'll be fine.
First time in 15 games they've given up more than 25 points, all right? 15 regular season games. All right, they did it twice in the playoffs. I think it was 26 and 27. December 3rd of last year against Green Bay when Patrick Mahomes was feeling under the weather, but we all know what really happened, why he was really sick. They're going to be fine. I'm not worried about them. But since Mitch audibled, I'm going to steal his audio clip that he was going to use, which is from this game. There was a player on the other team, the Buffalo Bills, who used to be here in Cleveland. His name's Amari Cooper, and he had this to say after the game.
It's first time in a like long time that I've actually felt joy, you know, from winning this game, from, you know, just the way we played, from having so many guys on the team who, you know, are playmakers, and they come up and they show up when their number is called, you know, collectively as a group. It's just amazing. You know, a lot of the guys here, it's just kind of a different place too. Buffalo compared to some of the other places I've been to. So a lot of the guys, it's a tight-knit group, I would say. A lot of the guys go out together. They hang around each other 24/7, and it truly shows up on the field.
You know, the crazy thing right
first
now.
First time he's felt joy in a while.
Yeah, that one sticks out. And I know guys always say when they're in their new place, oh, I'm in the happiest moment. I've been the best place I've been. They're barely using him. Remember, he had a wrist injury. He'd missed two games. He's barely been used. I mean, yesterday, three targets. Entire game, three targets. So I don't know if he's like, on the downside, he looked like he was on his downside here. There's no doubt. We were wondering if that was because they were a bad football team.
I must admit, I have not felt joy myself. He did catch two of those for 55 yards. Of the three targets he had, he did catch two for 55. So, and he feels joy. Boy, that stings. Jeez, that stings. All right.
Finally, Kenny.
Ken's wild thing.
Well, I walked in this morning, and I thought, I went, at least we're not them. And then I went, we're not them yet. The Jacksonville Jaguars lost yesterday 52-6. And Jahmyr Gibbs, did you see he did the Marshawn Lynch in the end zone?
Yes.
52-6 at Detroit. And I go, man, we've had some bad losses. We've never given up 52 points. We've never lost like that. I go, well, not yet. We'll see what happens on Sunday or on Thursday. We'll see what happens for the rest of the year. Is their situation, dare I ask, just asking, is it worse? Now, Trevor Lawrence is hurt. Mac Jones has been starting these games. But is their situation because of Trevor Lawrence worse? Yes or no?
It's looking pretty bleak because he doesn't look good. I mean, and they've paid him. I can't believe they haven't fired Peterson yet. I thought that was...
Well, he was supposed to be the next surefire thing, right?
Yeah, this is...
It didn't work out.
This is bad.
I thought this morning by now, it's maybe 9 o'clock. Maybe that's when it happens, but... I mean, he's going to get fired today, right?
Jared Goff threw for 412 and four touchdowns.
After throwing the five interceptions. Was it five last week?
Yes.
Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Jahmyr Gibbs averaged 6.3 yards a carry. David Montgomery averaged five. They laid down in this game, Jacksonville did.
That was What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
I can't keep calling them out because I'm afraid we're going to turn into them.